How many of you practiced godly submission this week? Wow. Oh, two. Okay. Right. I had to do something with that. You didn't just listen to it. No, we have to do what the Word of God says. Godly submission, not worldly submission, godly submission. You and I both know that our flesh resists everything that God would have us to do. Our flesh just does that. It gets in the way, man. It really does. But, you know, the Lord has given us everything that we need. Most importantly, His Holy Spirit living within us. And as the Apostle Paul had been writing to this church in Ephesus, which you know an extension is his writing to us because it's the Word of God. It wasn't just a personal letter for them 2,000 years ago. We're not just dusting off some of the dusty books of old history to see, oh, what happened way back then. No, we have the living Word of God that is powerful, that is not something that is just ancient, you know, ancient wisdom that we can maybe look at and kind of glean from. No, we have the powerful Word of God. And this Word of God is not only for them, was not only for them then, it's for us today. And as He wrote to them all those years ago, the Holy Spirit is reminding us today that this letter is for us. And He gets to the point of the letter where He uses this interesting word called finally. If you've been around church long enough, you'll know that many times you will hear the speaker say, and as I wrap this up and then talk for another 45 minutes. Well, Paul's not going to go that far, but he does have some more things to say. He's not going to say finally and just end it. He has something else for us to hear. He has something else that the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write to the church. Something else that we need to hear today, because finally, at the end of this letter, as he is carefully, wonderfully, again, I say Paul, but we know it's the Holy Spirit writing through this man, established our place in Christ, spoke to us and taught us about the basics of our life together and our Christian walk together. He says, finally, in light of all that God has done for us, in light of the glorious standing we have as the children of God, these are all things that you found in this epistle, or we found in this epistle, plus more. In light of His great plan, the plan of all the ages that He has made us a part of, in light of the plan for our Christian growth together, the maturity that we can have one with another in growing up together, in light of the conduct that He has called us to live, including godly submission to Him first and to one another in the proper roles, in light of the filling of the Holy Spirit to not only seal us, but to empower us to live this life. In light of all this, He says, now you have a battle to fight. You got all that, but now you got to live it. And when you live it, it's going to be fight. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be battle. There will be warfare. Every day. It's not always the hottest part of the battle every day, but every day is spiritual warfare. So finally, my brethren, and brethren, as you know, is for men and women, be strong in the Lord and in your own power. Is that what it says? No. Because you and I won't get anywhere with that. We'll get somewhere, but very small and or very, you know, short, and then it'll fail and fall and actually backfire on us. Believe me, I've tried many times. But be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. The Thursday night Bible study class, again, which I've always reminded you, you're welcome to join by Zoom if you don't want to come over the bridge and pay the toll. We are going through 1 Samuel. And we didn't get to this yet. We will do in many weeks from now because we only just started a few weeks back. But in 1 Samuel, there is a point. How many ever heard of David? King David. You ever heard of that guy? Yeah. God, a man after God's heart, right? Well, there are many periods in David's life where David was walking very much contrary to God's will for his life. And there was a time in David's life when he was actually running as an outlaw. I mean, he was an outlaw. There's no other way to describe it. He was an outlaw. When he was being hunted by Saul, he finally got fed up and said, I'm just going to the Philistines. And he began to just raid villages and rob people. And he just was a bad dude, man. He was running contrary to God's, you know, word and God's truth. And there came a time when he was running with his band of merry band of thieves and robbers and men, his crew, his posse, that he was on a raid and another group came and destroyed the city that him and his men were living in, burned it to the ground and took all his stuff and all his people captive. And when David and his men got back from the raid that they were on, they came back and saw their city all destroyed, saw the people all taken away, saw that everything they had was gone. They were so enraged that they wanted to stone David. He was the leader. Well, you got us into this mess, David. And the truth is, David did get himself into this mess a while back by saying, hey, I'm going to leave Israel and I'm going to go to the Philistines. This way, maybe Saul will forget about me. That's basically what he did. If I stay out of Israel for a while, he'll just forget about chasing me. I'm tired of this guy chasing me. So David did get himself into this mess. But I believe God allowed this in David's life to as a wake-up call. Because when it got to that point where now even his loyal men that he was fighting with, his followers, his crew, wanted to stone him, David realized, I've had it. I'm done. And the Bible uses a beautiful, wonderful phrase where it says in 1 Samuel 30, that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Strengthened himself in the Lord his God. A few weeks prior to that, you might have been able to say to David, hey, David, how's the things are going? David, you feel strong? He'd say, I feel strong, man. I'm doing what I want to do. I don't have that guy Saul on my back. I'm living my life. I'm doing my thing. Me and my guys, we're strong enough. We can conquer some armies, man. We're tough. And it was true. David and his men, they were good fighters. They really were. But it was all human strength. It was all temporary strength. And David would have said, I'm strong. But when he came to the end of this, when he realized that with his own way and his own strength had where it led him to where it got to this point where he had lost everything now and his own men wanted to stone him, he realized that he really had no strength at all in himself. He never really did. And it was like a shot right into his face that God, I believe, allowed to wake him up. And he did, to his credit, come to his senses. Many don't, but David did. And he turned back to his God. And he found his strength in his God. And he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In fact, literally, in the translation from the Greek, in this verse here, it says, strengthen yourselves in the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit was giving us the same idea here for ourselves. When you and I go through this life trying to do everything we need to do to be a good Christian and to live this life our way and our strength, doing the things that even we think God wants us to do, but trying it our way, we get to the point where we come to the end of it all and say, I got nothing. I got nothing. In fact, the harder I try, the worse it is seems to get because I keep trying this and trying this. I'm trying, and you feel like what Paul said in Romans. He said, I keep trying to do the right thing, and I end up doing the wrong thing, and I just, what a mess I am. That's human strength. That's the result. Paul says, no, let's strengthen ourselves in the Lord. See, when we get into this, which we are actually not going to get into the actual armor of God today, we're going to talk about the battle and spiritual warfare. It is real. We need to understand something, that you and I cannot live this life in our own strength. We need to live it in the strength and the power of the Lord, His might, not our own. And when we teach about spiritual warfare, when I say teach about, when we learn about it, what the Bible has to say about it, there's a lot of books out there about spiritual warfare that have nothing to do with the Bible. They come up with all these other kind of things, which again is the wisdom of man and the, you know, the power of man, which is not the power of God. But what the Bible says about spiritual warfare is really two things that we'll get out of even this chapter. Two essential components that I do not think that you and I can truly fight the battles that we need to fight and face every day without these two components, understanding these components and living in these components. And the first of those things is that you and I need to be strong in the power of His might. And secondly, put on the armor of God. They're essential, both of those things. You know, you can give a soldier a rifle to go out and fight the battle, but if the soldier does not have the skills and the training and everything else, that rifle is not going to do him a lot of good, him or her a lot of good. You can give them I forget what it is, but I think the pack that the soldiers carry, if I'm not mistaken, is like 50 pounds or 60 pounds. It's big, heavy. They put this on, and then they carry their rifles and all this other gear that they have to carry. If you say to this man or this woman, you say, here's all the gear, go out there, you got all the armor, you got everything you need, but they're not physically able to carry it, what good does it do them? Look at two steps, and they'll fall down, and they can't get back up. So they go through basic training. They go through the training to build their bodies up, their minds up, to have the sharpness they need to understand how to use the armors and how to have the wherewithal to do the things they have to do. So they have to be strong to be able to use the weaponry, the armor that they're given. We as Christians have to be strong in the power of His might so that we, as we put on the armor of God, we know how and are able to utilize it. Two essential portions. Power of His might. See, you and I can say all day, well, I'm strong in the Lord. But are you? Are you strong in the Lord? Are you doing things to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God? Are you building up, if you will, your spiritual stamina and your spiritual muscles? The things that we need to combat the enemy that's in this world, including the world and our flesh and the enemy Satan. Are you building yourselves up? Are you strengthening yourselves up? See, might and power are related, but they're two different things. You know, might, right, is the inherent power or force. You know, somebody who works out of the gym and gets good muscles and everything, that's the might that they have. But the power is the exercise of that might. You know, you have somebody that has all the strength, but they never don't know how to use it, or they don't use it. I know some of the bulked up and biggest guys that I knew never would use it. I don't mean in a negative way, like, you know, oh, we got to move some stuff. Oh, I can't, my back hurts today, you know. What are those muscles for, man? Just looking at the mirror and saying, look at me, I look good. Let's put it to use, man. Let's put it to work. Pick up that box, you know. See, we need to have the might of God within us, and we have to have the power, the might, to exercise the use of that. See, God has all the resources. God has the vast reservoirs of might and power in Him, and God has the power. But He's given us that might within us, and He wants us to know how to exercise His power in our lives. And it does not happen as you and I just passively sit on the sidelines as Christians. I am glad for everyone that's here in the building today. There should be more of us, and there will be. And I know that we have a weird dynamic going on here that it seems that we have alternating weeks and not everybody comes out on the same Sunday. If we all come together, we'd be a little bit bigger of a group. But even at that, we want to see every pew filled because of people of God that are going out doing the work in the ministry and to bringing people in to get equipped, to go out and to witness and to do the work of God and all those things. But you can come to church, and I'm glad you're here today, but if you're just passively coming in saying, I went to church today, I feel good, and that just, soothed your conscience because you didn't miss for your third week in a row, it's not passive. We have to partake. Make sure I'm saying this correctly. I've never had a gym membership, like an actual gym membership. I like to exercise, work out, do other, but I've never actually had a gym membership. But I know many people that have a gym membership and never go and work out at the gym. They do go once in a while because they say, oh, I got this thing, I got to go. And they go in and they do, okay, let me go get a water. You come to church, it's great, but if you're coming to church, are you just sitting by passively? I know for myself, I can be entertaining if I want to be and engaging, but that's not my role. I don't want to hear just entertain. I'm here, one of my responsibilities is to equip us, to teach us, to exhort us, to live the life so that as I don't just say it, but I'm living it so that you can follow me, hopefully, as I'm following Christ. So don't, if I'm not following Jesus, don't follow me, please. But if I'm following Jesus, follow me. I'm an example. I'm here as an example. All those different things. But we can't just come and sit here and just be like, okay. It's not just entertainment. It's not religious exercise. It's for us to come together to be equipped, to know how to each time we come together be filled with His power in our life that He's already given us, but to learn how to use the might that He's given us, and to learn how to use that with the power to live a life. See, His great vast reservoirs of might and the power that He gives us to live this Christian life. But it doesn't work as we just sit by passively. His might works as we step out in faith and exercise the might that He has given us, His might in us, and by the power that we will see displayed through our lives by relying on it, by trusting Him, by walking in faith, but by not relying on our own strength, whether it's mental strength, or physical strength. There was a sermon given by a gentleman one time, and he focused on things. So these are not my words here, but I thought they were fitting because I looked at them and I said, yeah, I can't add too much to this list. And his sermon was basically to the church to say, listen, God has given us everything we need to live this life, but many of us, because of the lack of trusting Him and relying on His power to live it out in our life, or by not utilizing the other things we need to keep that strength up. You can go to the gym for a while, but then if you don't go it, then everything starts to kind of go back to the way it was before, and the muscles get softer, and the stamina goes down. So we have to continually to be built up, continually to work, continually, if you will, to exercise so that we can be strong. He says, these are things that actually begin to sap our Christian strength, the might of God within us, and the utilizing of His power. He says, some of us, the problem is just downright laziness. Spiritual laziness especially. Not reading the Word, not spending time in prayer, not being out in fellowship, not coming to the assembly, all those different types of things, and more so. He said, there's others that are committing to too much. They're doing too many things, too many spiritual works, but it's not where God wants them to be. They're just running their own way. They're running constantly, and they really grow weary and well-doing because they're outside of where God's plan is for them, and they come to church, they do everything, and they do all this stuff, and then just burn out. He says, you got to have a balance there. He says, there's many Christians who you don't have the strength and the power of God's life manifesting in their life because all they use it for is to argue and debate with people. Just a debate over the most sometimes nonsensical things that really do not matter. And if they do matter, they matter just in a very small portion of our Christian lives. But they'll fight over the things and cause division and cause all kind of problems and wear people out, including themselves. He says you don't have the exercise of God's power and the might that he has given you, you don't see it in your life if you're spending too much time with the wrong company. You're spending too much time with foolish talk and joking. You spend too much time focusing on other things than your spiritual life, especially the love of money and your career or with the other things, your hobbies, you know, whatever that might be. He says many Christians are weak because all they want to do is to have their life look respectable to those around them. And they never want to do the things that God calls them to do because that might, like people might say, well, that's not a very respectable thing. He says if you get unequally yoked with an unbeliever, you can drain the power, if you will, and the might of God in your life. And it goes on and on, and I won't read every one, but ungodly entertainment, the wrong attitude to the word of God, these things and more are the things that he said would sap the strength of any Christian. Be strong in the Lord, church, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong. Put on the armor. Be strong in the power of his might and put on the armor. Jesus used this word in Luke chapter 11. I'm not going to put it up there. But remember he talked about the strong man who is fully armed but is stripped of his armor. You know, when a stronger one comes and defeats him, it's the same word there. God's armor is in the sense of something that is from him and that it is actual armor. Now, it is spiritual, but it's actually for our protection, for our use. It's not just philosophical. And we need the power of his might, and we need the armor of God so that you and I every day can stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan has schemes. He has his plans, if you will, for our life, to destroy our lives, to take us away from our faith in Christ, if he could do that, to take us away from our witness to other people, to take away our joy and our peace. He has a desire to do that. He is the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. He does not want us to be victorious in the power of God's might. He does not want us to walk around in God's strength. We have to be able to understand and to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. And that's why something as simple as, you know, when I say simple, as being in church and being then too active to the point where you're doing things that God has never called you to do or getting yourself involved with everything can be a strategy of the enemy to burn you out. Because you're not saying every day, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Now, there's other people who come in and say, well, yes, I think I'll come to that, but I have to pray about it. And that's the other hand where they're not really going to pray about it. They just use that as an excuse not to say, yes, I can come and I can help. They don't really want to pray about it. See, if we're all praying together, Lord, what would you have me to do? Guess what? Everybody would do their part in perfect order in his strength and power, and we'd be a well-oiled, if you will, machine for the kingdom of God. There's wiles of the enemy. We have to understand them. We have to be able to stand against them. Because we do not, verse 12, wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This verse right here, verse 12 of Ephesians 6, clearly indicates that there is a conflict and a battle and a warfare that we are part of, that we are in. And it's spiritual by nature. It may manifest at times in the flesh, but its origins are spiritual. And we cannot win the fight against our enemy, against those things that we war against, in our own strength in the flesh. No matter how sincere we are, we cannot do it. No matter what philosophy of this age we use, we cannot counter the wiles of Satan. We cannot counter the principalities and the powers, the host of wickedness. So there's a war going on. We're not given necessarily in the Word of God, though there's sometimes some reference to it to a degree, but we're not given a list of tactics Satan will use. We don't have this book that says, okay, today this is what Satan's going to do, this is how you counter it. That's not how it works. What God does do for us is he gives us everything we need to counter anything that Satan would bring our way in any form. Most of Satan's attacks are the same ones he's been using for millennia. He may just package them different. But the strategies many times are the same. His reasons are the same. So we have this conflict, and we don't have to know every specific way that he's going to come and bring it into our lives, but it's very clear from this that we're fighting against a host, a demonic host that have some kind of rank. I don't necessarily understand all this because I don't think we need to understand it. The Word God tells us that there are rulers and principalities and the spiritual host. I don't need to know everything about that to know that I'm fighting against an army that is spiritual and that is against us, against me. See, Paul doesn't call the believer to enter into spiritual warfare. The Holy Spirit says, it is what we're into, whether you are recognizing it or not. It's there every day. We are engaged or should be engaged in spiritual warfare because it's out there. We are on the front lines, and many of us are just oblivious many times. I had a conversation yesterday with two or three pastors, and one of the things, I don't know how we got on this topic, I was in that, honestly, I personally was not even thinking about the message yet for today. You know, it wasn't like actively in my mind at that moment. And we began to talk about spiritual warfare. And what, you know, we were talking about is that it is so hard, especially here in the U.S., you know, in the Western world, you know, to get people who are believers in Jesus Christ to recognize that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. By and large, most people that even are born-again Christians that come to church just don't even act every day, just like there's no warfare going on around us, and it's all around us constantly. And one of the things that I think that we should pray for is, Lord, open my eyes. Not to know and understand every strategy of the enemy. I don't need to. No, I just need to understand and know that there is warfare going on. And am I equipped and am I ready to engage the enemy in the way that you would have me or us engage the enemy in the power of your might with your armor, not my own? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When I said earlier, sometimes it does manifest into flesh and blood because sometimes it does come into the physical realm, but it's being manipulated and directed by spiritual forces. When we know from books of the Bible that there are strongholds and leaders, spiritual leadership, if you will, demonic leadership over even whole countries and nations. We realize that Daniel's a good book to find that out. You know, we realize that, yes, sometimes that manifests into physical things that do happen, but it's being initiated from the spiritual realm. And we could try to engage it on the physical all we want, and Satan sits back and says, yeah, you're never going to win. Even if you defeat, you're still going to lose. He wants us to not think about the fact that we are engaging in spiritual warfare, or we need to be engaging in spiritual warfare. Because that's why we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Again, but we wrestle against the principalities and powers. Listen, you guys know what 2 Corinthians 10 says. And if you don't, we're going to put up on the screen. Colin's going to put up right now. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, right? We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? That's fleshly, right? But they are what? Mighty. In the pulling down, and mighty in God, in the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, now listen to this, arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's why and how we need to engage, because all around us, everything wants to come to that place of taking us away from Christ. How many of you love a good conspiracy theory? Come on, you know you read them and you believe some of them. How many know that it's really funny? I thought one of the funniest things that happened in the last 3 years or since COVID, that like half the conspiracy theories actually became true. It's like, whoa, they were right. But there's a lot of wacky stuff out there, is there not? Right? And we can spend a lot of time going down and chasing down these theories in rabbit holes and going down and try to figure who did what to who and what the secret is here and the secret is over there and all that kind of stuff. We can go do running around. And you can wear yourself out and you can come away at the end of the day just exhausted. Because you know what I said to somebody at Bible study Thursday night? And I don't want to get into the whole thing, not only for the sake of time, but I'd have to do too much explanation. But they were very confused about a subject in regards to God's people, Israel, and today, and he was really going off on things that bordered on almost anti-Semitic, and I tried to explain to him from God's word, you know, what the place. He said, and he started to go down and started to come out with all these conspiracy theories going back into the 1800s and all this kind of stuff. And I had heard some of this stuff, you know, some of the stuff you're saying is like so obscure. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But all these kind of things that led him to the point of view where he was. And I looked at him and I said, but what does God say? Well, and he stopped. He said, you know, that's my problem. I get involved with all these conspiracy theories and all the different arguments and all these different things, and I waste so much time and energy, and I really burn myself out, and I turn people off, and I get into fights with people, and I've lost relationships and all that. I said, and that is a strategy of the enemy in your life. Not only to take you away from the simplicity in Christ, but to keep you from being effective for the witness. Because what does it matter? Even if all the things you think are true, what does God have to say? And how does what you believe in this way help people get saved and come to a knowledge of Christ? So with every argument that comes in, we have to be able to utilize the word of God, the power of God, the armor of God, the power of his might, so that we can bring every argument into submission into Christ. Because at the end of the day, I will tell you, there is one grand conspiracy theory that is no theory, it's fact. And that's the conspiracy that Satan has to take everybody away from salvation in Christ. That finds so many tentacles in that. And if you and I go try to chase all the tentacles, all the different ways that that happens, we can go nuts. And all it will do is take us away from the power of the gospel to overcome the strategies of Satan. See, it's very simple for us. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Come against these things, not in the fleshly realm, but by the power of God's Spirit through the warfare that is there, that is not fleshly, but is spiritual. But know that our weapons, while they're not carnal, are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, does that bleed over to the flesh sometimes? Absolutely, we're in the flesh. So sometimes you're having a discussion with somebody or maybe even an argument with somebody because they're fleshly, they're there. And it may be sometimes that you have to kind of say, whoa, shut up a minute. Okay, you spewed out for a half hour. Give me a second to kind of talk to you. But you may have to sometimes in the flesh, in love, say these things because it does come into the flesh, but it's still spiritual. I'm glad to report at the end of our discussion, he said, I got to repent. I said, okay. Not to me. He says, yeah, I got to get my thinking straight. I said, that's right. Get the word of God. Stand on the word of God. That's the answer. That's the power. That brings down the strongholds. That brings every argument, all these high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That brings that under submission. That's it. I don't know of any other way. I got stories. I could tell a lot of stories. Years ago, before I don't even know if I was a pastor yet. It was years ago. Kids were young. I may have been, but either way, I was in my house. Not the present house I'm living in, but a house, another house I was living in. And the Jehovah's just really came every Saturday morning at the door. And, you know, I'd go out, get into a little debate. And after a half hour, I'm like, I'm tired of this debate. It's getting nowhere. You know, come back to the door again, go out. And finally, I don't want to answer the door anymore. And I said, well, that's not right either. I have an obligation to share the truth of the Word of God. And I began to just really pray about these encounters. And the Holy Spirit just placed upon my heart, do not debate anymore. Just give the Word of God. Okay. Same people, by the way, they kept coming back. Start the thing, and when they say something, I just give scripture. They say something, I just give scripture. And every time I say, I just give scripture. Well, instead of a half hour, it became like 5 minutes, you know, because they kept going, and I just, scripture. Next week, scripture, scripture, scripture. The next week, because I noticed one was, who was the most talkative before, was the most quiet as I began to give scripture. Only this one woman was at the door by herself. We had a conversation that time because she was listening to the Word of God. I invited her to church, invited her to read the Bible, told her some things, whatever happened to me. She never came back after that, but I trust, Lord, she was listening. And I believe what got her attention was not my ability to counter their arguments with my wisdom, but by just sharing the Word of God. It's powerful. It brings, if you will, every thought, if you will, the counter Christ. It gives them the Word of God, and we want to bring that into captivity into Jesus Christ and give people an opportunity to know the truth and be set free. See, don't be worried and scared. As finally, I'll wrap this up. I got another half hour in me, but that's... Don't worry about the principalities and powers. Real quickly, I'll pick this up, Lord willing, next time we talk about this. I'm not going to... I'll quickly give the scripture references, but they're not going to come up on the screen. Romans 8 tells us that all the principalities and powers can never keep us from the love of God, so there's a limit to their abilities, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is enthroned above every principality and power. He rules over them. Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus himself even created the principalities and powers. Colossians 2 tells us that Jesus is the head over all principalities and power. Ephesians 3 tells us that God has made known to us, the church, his wisdom to know about the principalities and powers. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that all the principalities and powers will have an end to their time here on earth. Once their purpose has been fulfilled because of God's plan, they will be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. And if you're still not sure about this, remember that all the principalities and the powers were disarmed at the cross, because Colossians 2:15 tells us that at the cross, Jesus won the victory and disarmed all the principalities and powers. We serve the only God. We serve the true God. We serve the God who has all the might and all the power. And he has given that to us to the degree that we need it to live this life, to battle the enemy that is in this world. So the response to the spiritual warfare that's around us is, take up, verse 13, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You remember the first Rocky movie? No? Oh. Wow, man. Well, the first movie, after the, there's not going to be about eight after that or whatever, but anyway, the first one, this down-and-out fighter who's a club fighter, now gets the shot at the title, if you don't know the story, and somewhere during this, he finally realizes he can't win win against the champ of the world. He can't win. And what's he say to Adrian? I just want to go 15 rounds. I just want to go the distance. You know, at the end of the day, the victory that we have is ultimately in Christ. But as we are fighting the battle, we are called to have victories, but we're called to stand. Satan's going to do everything to knock us down, to bring us over, to bring us upside down, to get us off of our game, all that kind of things. He wants to keep us in the tizzy, but the Word of God says that we can be strong in the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God, and when He has done His best, as we do it God's way, as we stand in His strength and power with the armor of God, utilizing it in the way that we should, we can stand. We can stand. We can stand in the power of His might. Come on, Satan. We can stand. We can stand in His grace. We can stand in the gospel. We can stand in courage and strength. We can stand with the faith that grows in the liberty of the freeness that we have in Christ, in the unity of the body of Christ, in His power, perfect and complete. We can stand. So, what are the keys for spiritual warfare? First thing is, believe it's real. It is. The Bible says it, accept it, it is. There's spiritual warfare all around us. Stop denying it. Stop trying to pretend it's nothing. It's there. And it comes in all different forms. And again, what do we war against? Yeah, there's principalities and powers. We war against the flesh. We war against this world, the system. But it's real. It's spiritual warfare. Remember that it's real. We have to rely on God's power and might, not our own. We have to put on the whole armor of God, which we will talk to next time we pick this up. We have to draw on the power of Scripture, the Word of God, which is the sword, which we'll get to in the right time. We have to pray continually in perseverance and in holiness, bringing our request to God, because we can never fight this fight without prayer. Then we have to stand firm in the power of His might, submitting to God, submitting even to one another, resisting the devil's work, knowing that the Lord our God is the Lord of hosts, and He is our protector, and our victory is secure in Him. And I found this psalm just as I was getting ready to drive over here. Psalm 62. Colin, I think we have that. He, God, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Father, there's warfare all around us. Open our eyes to see it so that we can engage the enemy as we are called to engage the enemy. Father, help us today as You gave us and have given us Your word to see the truth and to live according to that truth. So, Father, we pray together that our eyes would be open to the battle that's around us, to the warfare that's around us. But it will be also open to the victory that You have given us and the tools that You have given us and the fact that You have not left us here to fight in this battle without all of the equipment needed, but also the strength and the power to engage the enemy. But Lord, we learn today that it is not our strength. Help us to be strong together in the power of Your might. Help us, Lord, each and every day to be clothed with the whole armor of God so that we can war in the spiritual realm, and we do not engage it just in the fleshly plane alone, but we engage it in the spiritual realm to where, Lord God, it affects the here and now and the everyday of our lives in a way that we can counter every assault of the enemy. Every argument, every philosophy, every strategy, every wile that would take people from a knowledge of Christ, and that we, in Your power, utilizing all that You have given us, would bring and cast down every argument and bring all those arguments into captivity in Christ so that others may know Your truth and be set free and saved. So, Father, we renew ourselves today. Help us to strengthen ourselves like David in Your might, in You. Forgive us for the areas that, Lord, we are find ourselves weak. And let us now, Lord God, take good stock and inventory of those areas that we would not have our strength sapped any longer, so that we can build ourselves up and strengthen ourselves up in you. And as we go forward today, let us look for every opportunity to stand in your power with your armor, to be victorious, and to set the captive free. In Jesus' name, amen.